Greetings, I'm Fred Zaspel. Welcome to another author interview here at Books at a Glance. We're talking today to Pastor John Krotz, author of Mighty Men, The Starter's Guide to Leading Your Family, an important topic for every church and every home. John, welcome. It's your first time with us, I think. Great to have you with us.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
Yeah. John, by the way, is the longtime pastor of Faith Community Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia. He was telling me just a moment ago before we logged on that it's been now 30 years he's been there. So congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's great. Okay, Mighty Men, The Starter's Guide to Leading Your Family. Explain for us what you're after in this book. The subtitle pretty well tells it, but elaborate on that for us.
Well, I think a lot of guys tend not to be strong readers, just laymen in the church. And I wanted to put together something that kind of crystallized the nuts and bolts of what it means to lead your family, and to do it in a way that's kind of conversational style and motivating and inspiring, just for guys to come away going, wow, I can do that. If they walk away with that, I know mission accomplished for me.
Great. All right. Let's back up a little and highlight the importance of that topic, both in terms of biblical perspective and in terms of life experience. What makes this so important?
Well, God calls men to be the leaders of their family. And one person observed many years ago, the word doesn't say like a command to become the leader of your family. It says you are the leader of your family. And so then the question is only, what kind of leader are you? And so when we see that in Ephesians 5 about the husbands being the head of the wives and that children are to obey and honor their parents, even there highlighting the father as the primary responsible one for the family, the Bible just assumes this to be true and right. And then if that's the case, then our burden is just to become the best that we can be at that. And in life, we find that the role of the husband and the father has ripple effects to the rest of the family. Obviously, your wife is going to flourish if you are giving godly leadership in the home, or I should say, it gives her the best opportunity to flourish. And also the kids as well. Of course, you know, those old, those classic studies of some of the godly families of old, like Jonathan Edwards and Sarah, and the impact of their parenting and grandparenting throughout the generations. So many spiritual leaders and even political leaders and just community leaders flowed from his godly influence.
Right.
And of course, the opposite's also the case. If someone is a dud in the home, how many young people's lives are kind of train wrecks, and you kind of ask a few questions and go, oh, you kind of are just passing down the family heritage. You're coming from a broken and very dysfunctional family, and now you're doing the same thing to others. So I really think that if guys could be instructed in a way that they get and inspired, yes, we can do this, then that can have a profound impact on our families, on our churches, and even our communities.
One disadvantage that many men have today is that they've never seen a reliable role model. I've had a good role model, and the impact and the shaping influence it had on me from my dad is I couldn't measure it. A lot of guys don't have that. Then on the other hand, you have guys who, when they hear the word leadership, they hear all kinds of things that you don't want to communicate to that. And so we've got problems on both ends. You're a pastor like I am, and I'm sure you've seen problems on both sides. Some who are just clueless, and they really would love to have the help. And on the other hand, you have those who are going to abuse leadership in a wrong kind of way. So give us a brief sketch of the leadership you have in mind. Disabuse us of any wrong notions of leadership. In a moment, I'll ask you about the man himself and his character and all of that. But But for now, let's just characterize the leadership that you have in mind. What's it look like?
Well, I think that the key idea from the scriptures is going to be taking responsibility. That's just giant. It's taking responsibility for the man himself, which leads into the godly character. Taking responsibility for his wife, taking responsibility for his kids, which of course doesn't mean he has to do everything or micromanage everything, but he's responsible. And so that's the kind of leader that's why leadership can look like service, because it's not bossing people around, it's owning the responsibility that we have before the Lord and before our family, and seeking to implement that to help our family get from where they are to where they need to go, and taking the time and energy and effort to help serve our family in ways that they will get to the finish line.
Give us some specifics. What does it look like in day-to-day life? What's the father doing with regard to the wife, with regard to the children? Like you say, it's not micromanaging, but he is sort of overseeing everything. So what does that look like in practical terms?
Right. I think big picture, you know, setting the tone, you know, where are we going as a family? So if, for example, I live near Atlanta, Georgia, and if I was going to come up to Pennsylvania, I might say, all right, family, we're going to Pennsylvania, but there's many ways that we could get from Atlanta to Pennsylvania. And so I don't have to be the one to figure out the exact route or that kind of thing. So the big picture, I want our family to honor the Lord as a family. I want our family to be a vital part of a healthy church. I want our family to grow in my kids to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus and to have an impact in the community for the Lord's sake. So get those big things in mind. And then, obviously when the family is working right, the wife is a great help in all of that, the implementation of the details, and a godly man is seeking the input of that wife, right? I've often laughed at the thought that it says in Genesis that God made Eve to be Adam's helper. Well, one of the implications is Adam needed help. He needed some help. And we'd be very foolish to say, all right, I'm the leader. I've got this all figured out. It's got to be my way or the highway, when God has given us a wonderful resource there to give us some input and to give us some help in how that's implemented. But I think another key idea is when decision time comes. I mean, that gets really down to the practical things. All right, there are two ways we can go. Are we going to go the interstate? Are we going to go the rural highways on our trip to Pennsylvania? The wife may have planned some things or thought through some things and given her input, but I think a godly spiritual leader in the home isn't afraid to step up and make the final decision on that. And that gives his wife a great relief and help that he's not just in the name of deference, just pushing it all to her, but he's assuming the responsibility for the final decision to be made.
Okay, talk to us about the man himself in terms of character and whatnot. What kind of man does he need to be? And maybe you could give some areas of caution here as well.
Well, I think that there's a couple of ways, you can lead your family in a lot of ways. And I think I used the illustration in the book of like the drill sergeant dad, the stereotype of the drill sergeant, drill instructor in boot camp. He's got all of the guys doing push-ups and waking up at crazy hours, and you've got to dress this way and do this, and barking out orders, obvious, again, stereotypically. Well, that may be efficient, and it may get the job done, but God has called us to be loving spiritual leaders. We have to be men of God, manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. And so if it doesn't match up with the fruit of the Spirit, it's not going to be the kind of spiritual leader that God wants us to be. So we are to be gracious. We are, of course, 1 Peter 3 talks about living with our wives in an understanding way and honoring them as the weaker vessels. And so they're delicate, they're precious, like a vase. And so we need to treat them accordingly, even though we might think from military days, well, it would be more efficient if we had everybody just answering the orders I'm barking out.
Yeah.
So there's definitely right and wrong ways to do it. And of course, in that exact passage in Ephesians 5, where it talks about the husband being the head of the wife, our main instruction is to love our wives like Christ loved the church in a self-sacrificial way. So that's vital.
Yeah, absolutely. Churches would do well to encourage and even facilitate ways in which older men can teach and mentor younger men. Do you have any suggestions along those lines for churches?
Well, it's as we were briefly talking about earlier, it's sad sometimes that some of our senior saints, with all of the experience and a lifetime of reading the Bible, don't feel like they've got the time or energy to invest in the youngers. But we certainly want to look for ways to facilitate that and cultivate it, just to have those kinds of relationships. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. And so again, if I'm talking to guys and I'm emphasizing that point of taking responsibility, then what I'm going to tell them is, listen, this proverb makes it very clear that if you find the wise men of our church and spend time with them, that will have an impact in your life. So what can you do to create that time, right? So it's one thing to have the church to facilitate that, which is wonderful. And of course, we want to try to do that as best that we can, just with different events and activities. But I think every young guy could find and seek out an older man who really seems like he's doing it right and just spend time with him. My goodness. I mean, if somebody says, let me buy your lunch, you know, many of the older guys who didn't think they had time, now they do have time, or, you know, let's get together for coffee or breakfast or even to do an activity together, you know, fix the fence. Happened to me the other day. And great, I got to spend time with this guy and a great guy, just as we were kind of doing a project together. But I think the intentionality is huge there. Because it is going to have an impact. You know, you get to see what a godly man looks like in different kinds of contexts than you may be used to.
I remember once when we were young, married, and our kids were very young, we had some older friends who had done it really well. And we sat down with them and said, okay, tell us what you did. Tell us how you do it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's good at virtually every stage.
Absolutely.
Before we go, give us a brief overview of your book so our listeners can know what to expect.
Yeah, well, we talk about the importance of the issue and the significance of godly character. So you can't really lead well the rest of your family until you're, as some people say, leading yourself well. So how does that happen? And we, you know, spiritual disciplines are part of that. There's no magic bullet, no substitute for reading your Bible and praying and being a vital part of church. I did include a chapter in this new expanded edition of Mighty Men about purity. I think that is the stumbling block of the hour. It just seems like with so much access to pornography, but listen, it doesn't have to be pornography to still be a stumbling block, does it? Our heart will gravitate toward so many things, so many images that just pop up, even unsought They're right there. So what can we do to fight for purity? When I'm talking to a new guy and really trying to get to know him, I don't ask if he's fighting for purity or if that's an issue. I ask how it's going, because all of us need to be doing that. Then I have a chapter about the nuts and bolts of family leadership, and that's going to kind of walk through the various aspects, just the smallest details of what's this like? What is it like to, you know, take responsibility? What's it like to make the decision? And what are some elements of that? And then just even some practical things like family leadership, family worship, I should say. That seems so intimidating. And so I think a lot of guys, maybe they hear about the model of some Puritans or that kind of thing, and they get very inspired and they think, okay, I've got to get my big Bible out and preach to my family. And they might try it. And maybe that even happens for one time, but they hate it, their wife hates it, their kids hate it, and they just don't do it anymore. What if we could do it a lot simpler, something that would be easy and repeatable? Again, this is not original for me, but I love it. Put a Bible on your dinner table. Put your bookmark in there, especially when the kids are younger. Focus on the stories, the narrative part, and just read a little bit. How much do you even have to read? Not much, especially when the kids are small. You don't have to read even the full chapter. And then does that lead to conversation? Maybe. Does it sometimes not? Yes, that's fine. But every guy I've talked to about that kind of plan for family worship kind of comes away going, well, I could do that. That's so much better of a response than the guy who tries to preach a sermon to his family. I love that. I absolutely love that. And so that chapter is kind of filled with little practical tips on leading our family. Then there's a chapter on the great mystery of communication that many guys feel like is kind of a hidden in the darkness. How can I communicate with my wife who acts like that's so important, but I don't really know, you know, exactly what's going on. And the final chapter is durability in adversity. And just to say, we've got to persevere in times of suffering. Everything looks a lot easier and better when everything is going well. But it's really during the dark days that we will all experience that our leadership is tested. And that is what's going to make the difference. And so it's good to have an exhortation about dealing with suffering, responding to suffering, and persevering in the midst of suffering as a family leader.
Very good. We should also mention, as you alluded to this earlier, that many men are not diligent readers, but we should mention then that this book is not at all intimidating. It's not only accessible in terms of the popular style, but it's under 70 pages. Any man who can read this, and it's an important topic. It's worth the investment of time and energy to do it. All right, we're talking to Pastor John Kratz about his book, Mighty Men, The Starter's Guide to Leading Your Family. We encourage you to get the book, make use of it yourself, in the church as well. And John, thanks a lot for your time. Thanks for your good work.
Thank you for having me.